Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon and select retailers nationwide.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want to come and join with you?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore! It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
I'm the Joker, baby!
This episode of Lights, Camera, Barstool is presented by Omega Accounting Solutions. Attention, small business owners. You may be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per employee through the Employee Retention Credit. Omega Accounting Solutions can help you recover payroll tax overpayments and determine if you are eligible to receive up to $26,000 per employee. All it takes is a quick, easy, free 10-minute consultation to determine if you qualify. Omega is a small business champion with teams dedicated to maximizing tax credits. CPAs even turn to Omega for ERC guidance. Take advantage of this exclusive small business tax credit now. The three-year sunset deadline for filing begins to close March 31st, 2023. So learn if you qualify today. Call 800-309-ERC. That's 800-309-ERC, 800-309-ERC, or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com/Barstool Sports right now. Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 67. Season 2, Jeff Pilo. Ken Jack, Gooch. Avatar episode.
I got
kind of crazy.
I got the full fit on for today.
Ken Jack's been wearing the same shirt for a week straight.
Dude, I can't stop. You know what's the most annoying thing is I was going to wear it to the actual screening, but it came in like as I was going to the screening. It was so late. So
Jimbo would love that shirt.
Yeah, he would. Oh my God, he'd adore it.
He'd be Jimbo. So happy with it. Call him Jimbo now. It's my good friend Jimbo.
Turn the gain down on your mic, Gooch.
Yeah, Jesus Christ,
what a
dude.
Gain on that mic, brother.
Fucking laundry detergent ass.
What's wrong with the mic?
Laundry detergent ass.
Does it sound better?
Yeah, Avatar.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe just put it away from you. That mic is not a very good hold mic. That's like a
Speaking of audio issues. I bought these Skull Candies because my Bose headphones broke. I think I set a record for how quickly they were broken. One use. The last episode of LCB, I used them. This is the second usage. One of them's already out. One of the ears buds is already out. And
opening up a skull candy like the candy skull candy over the over the ear for skull candy, when you like pull them apart to put them on your head, it sounds like you're stepping on ice and glass.
Yes,
that's what it sounds like.
It's like it's unbelievable. These ones, I don't even get it, man. Like that, I wore them, I put them down, I picked them back up. They're in earbuds out. I didn't do anything to it. It's just unbelievable. Thanks, Skull Candy. It's a Swedish company too, which is so weird to me. Like I just assumed that would be one of those companies that exist outside of space, but for it to be a Swedish company is bizarre.
Feels like
My mic, by the way. Do I sound fine?
Yeah.
Sounds like a company that should be based in like Cape Coral.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just Skull Candy, they source the cheapest plastic in the world for their headphones.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I can feel it like humming off in my earlobe. Like the bud just like slowly wearing off onto me. Like it's tar.
Congrats to all of our listeners in Argentina on winning the World Cup. Mm-hmm. We have a big base there. Huge base in Argentina. Congratulations on the World Cup. I mean, also if you're just a Messi fan. Before we get into we got two pretty big trailers. One's a big teaser, one's a big regular trailer, Barbie and then Oppenheimer.
And then we do have, man, it's storming big time here. Holy shit. And then we do have our Avatar review. And then we're going to be doing top five movies with blue people in them.
Mm-hmm. By the way, are we three away NFL winners today or did the Browns lose? I didn't.
No, Browns won on Saturday against the Ravens. But technically, not all teams won on the same Sunday. So you could continue
That's
true. That's true. Yeah.
But we did have a good three-way win.
Three-chi. Holiday season, folks. You're going to be around family. Maybe you don't want to deal with them. Take some 3-Chi. The next evolution in ultra-pure cannabis products, Delta 9-0 by 3-Chi. 3-Chi's Delta 9-0 products deliver a similar yet smoother and stronger and longer-lasting euphoria compared to traditional marijuana products. High-quality, federally legal hemp-derived product raises the bar for what you should expect from a cannabis product in both effects and experience. They got lots of different ways to do it. Tinctures. They have like their pens, all that type of stuff. But they also have the chocolate. You could just be with your family, dunking a big cookie in some milk, and little do they know, you're getting high off some 3-Chi.
I took a chocolate last night before my flight, and let me tell you, it worked well. Worked really
yeah,
well.
It's not CBD. That's a big reminder. Not CBD. Get your exclusive 10% discount on 3-Chi premium THC products by going to 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com. Kendrick's got like 100 gummies.
Jesus.
I got way too much.
And use promo code Barstool10 to take 10% off your order today. Must be 21 or older to purchase. Please use responsibly. Again, not CBD. This will get you high, so it's good. It's what you're looking for, but it's just not CBD. Don't like give it to your grandpap on Christmas Eve thinking this is going to like calm him down. He's just going to be zooted. Maybe it will. Yeah.
I didn't want to do it with my family either, so I took my grandma to go see Avatar this weekend. She had a stroke and died, but the last thing she said was that it was the greatest movie she ever saw. So, I mean, she may have lived through some horrible things in this country, but at least she got to see Avatar.
Did you see a guy named that actually did die?
Wait, yeah. Really? Watching Avatar?
Yeah.
He loved it too much.
Yeah,
shouldn't laugh at that, but
assuming unrelated to the actual movie, unless he had like an epileptic seizure or something like that, which I don't.
James Cameron killed a guy.
He's definitely killed people for sport. That video, by the way, of James Cameron, like the autograph seekers, like the adult autograph people booing him for not signing autographs and him just being like, fuck you. Like that's ultimate James Cameron right there. He's the best.
I've come so far around on him. He's just the best, man. He's just
greatest. We invented, I feel like old school Bill Simmons. We invented a theory. It's the Avatar 2 theory. If you piss people off enough and they don't want your stuff, but you wait long enough, they're eventually going to like you. If you can overshoot your window of people despising you, and that's what they did with Avatar. Like this movie is just now, like for the most part, I saw a comment somewhere saying it's divisive. I don't think it's divisive. I don't think everyone loves it, but for the most part, people like it.
It's got an A cinema score. It's like 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, A cinema score. Like it's up there in like every fan metric.
Yeah, it's certainly not divisive. I mean, it's not like 100% on all platforms and every single person sees it loves it, but it's very well liked. So yes, we will get into that in a little bit. But first up, we'll start off with the Oppenheimer trailer. Oppenheimer, the next movie from Christopher Nolan, historical movie. Imagine if it was like alternate history. We just didn't know.
Tarantino Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Massive cast, just a ridiculous cast. Cillian Murphy in the lead role, Emily Blunt, Robert Downey Jr., Matt Damon, Florence Pugh, Benny Safdie, Josh Hartnett, Rami Malek. We interviewed Josh Hartnett in March, by the way, for a Guy Ritchie movie that just still hasn't come out yet.
Yep. Fuck, what's that called? I don't remember.
Rami Malek, Dane DeHaan, David Krumholtz, Alden Ehrenreich, Matthew Modine, Jack Quaid, David Desmolchiani, I always say his name wrong. Jason Clark, Josh Peck. Josh Peck has a little shot in the trailer.
He was like the only one.
Alex Wolff, Tony Goldwyn. Trying to see who else I could see here. Gary Oldman, Casey Affleck. It's crazy. There is just an insane. No one was like, whatever. He just hired everyone he possibly could in Hollywood. Film follows the life of theoretical physicist J. Robert Oppenheimer, the director of the Los Alamos Laboratory during the Manhattan Project, and his contributions that led to the creation of the atomic bomb. Very good trailer. He always has great trailers, so this isn't a shock. The first trailer from Nolan is always the best, and I don't mean the teaser. He always does a year out teaser. I mean like the straight up first trailer that comes out. They're always amazing. This is one of the best. This is a very good trailer. This got me. I was already fired up for it, but this has me like next level amped.
Mm. Yeah. Also, this just reminded me how this is kind of stole from my fan fiction of Ghostbusters Top and Slimer. That would have been my favorite. I would kind of. It's just nice to see the Oppenheimer name getting some love again. But yeah, the trailer was awesome. I mean, what more can you say with Nolan, right? But I think some of the stuff that like the cast almost hides because the cast is so huge and so like prolific in skill and name notoriety and all that. It's like the back end rocks too. Like obviously Nolan, but then the cinematographer is Hoyt Van Hoytema, who did like Interstellar, Ad Astra, Dunkirk, so many great movies with like incredible spatial like special effects. And then Ludwig Göransson on the soundtrack as well. I wasn't thrilled with his Black Panther 2 soundtrack, but like I feel like with the Nolan project, he's going to go like with Tenet, like all out and do some crazy shit. So very pumped for this.
That score in the trailer, that's his, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Making sure that wasn't like some original piece that they just threw in for the trailer. Because I did really like that. Yeah, Cillian Murphy looks fucking awesome here. I was kind of
gaunt,
like, I don't know.
Gaunt-ass motherfucker.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. The accent could be tough for him. But yeah, no, he's going to knock it out of the park. Like that like little speech he was giving, like that little monologue was so perfect. It was like, they won't understand it until they know it, and they won't know it until they use it. Like, oh, it's going to be awesome. Line. It's going to be awesome. I hope we get a lot of bombs, like a lot of testing, though. I hope it's not just we need some explosions. We need a lot of them.
Yeah. And I am curious. I've said it for a while. What is the time element? And you can hear the time ticking.
Yeah.
Like obviously it's a bomb and a bomb, you know, whatever. You could there's elements there that make sense. But I'm curious with like there's always a time element. Now maybe not as much Batman. But like for the most part, his stuff, he likes to manipulate time and do things differently. And that was a question with Dunkirk. How's he going to do it? And he made a nonlinear story basically. And it all blended together and all the plot lines and threads cross over at the end. So I'm curious how he's going to do it with that. But it just looks great. Like I don't even know what to say about it. Like it just, there's going to be shit in there that you're like, I can't believe this guy did this in a biopic.
Yeah.
I mean, the story
is going to tick down and you're just going to see Robert Oppenheimer looking like Wile E. Coyote after like one of those old school bombs explodes. You hear the cue. I mean, that'd be great. That's the climax for Oppenheimer right there.
I can't believe Christopher Nolan said he didn't use CGI for this.
I can very much believe it. It's very believable. That's just Nolan, baby.
My friend
he's
Jimmy,
like very
my
much
friend
like
Jimmy Cameron is trying to save the Earth, and my large adult son Christopher Nolan is blowing up nuclear bombs in the desert for a movie.
That's what I was gonna say. Is like they both of those directors, Nolan and Cameron, I think are very similar in a lot of ways. Where like they managed to make like insane like multi like hundreds of million billion dollar blockbusters that are also critically usually well received as well as audience well received. Like that's super rare. But also, I just think Nolan's probably as much of an asshole as James Cameron, but just isn't as vocal about it. You know what I mean? So, like, maybe that's where the perception switches.
Good Lord, that is true. He's Nolan's not like cocky in that sense either. Like,
just carry on film in his pocket. That is a pretty. That's a dick move in a way.
It is, yeah. But that's more like a. Yeah, that's more like a film people's thing. Where like Cameron is so mainstream assholey.
Yeah,
but again, it's working. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah,
like it just makes me
because
like
he backs it up. Every bit of shit he talks, he backs it up. You know what I mean? So like you can't even like get mad at him.
So that's the Oppenheimer trailer. How about?
Barbie? Yeah, this is a lot.
When did you first see it, Kendrick? Did you see it online? Because you screened Avatar, so you wouldn't have seen it in theaters, right?
I didn't get either of those things. They just went straight into it. I saw it on the when they released it on Twitter or whatever, but I liked it. I mean,
also we got it. We left PFT in the dust, so we went with our coworkers. If you're not like fully Barca, we went with pardon my takes, PFT and Hank. And me, Robbie, and Hank left. And we didn't leave Kenjack out, by the way. Kenjack had just seen 6 hours of movies the previous 3 days.
Babylon right after that,
so
yeah.
He's like, I think I'm movied out for a few days. So we left early because Gooch and I were just convinced that we were going to get the Oppenheimer like prologue. We were going to get the Mission Impossible behind the scenes. But we saw it in Dolby because our theater, for some reason, wasn't showing Avatar in IMAX.
That's crazy. It's
the number one – it's the highest grossing theater in the country. The biggest IMAX like at an AMC in the country. And they just weren't showing it until like 10:30. It's weird. So we saw it in Dolby. It still was great. It was very good in Dolby. But we showed up. We got neither of those. It was a huge bummer. But yeah, we got the Barbie trailer.
Hell yeah.
And Robbie clapped at the end of it, I believe.
I did clap. I said, let's go. And clapped. And Hank just looked at me and goes, that looks so fucking stupid.
Are these supposed to be released on the same day, right? Still?
Yeah, one of them's going to move. But as of now.
For sure.
Before we get into it, though, I got to do a quick ad read. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Unfortunately, life, you don't get a user manual on life, and BetterHelp is offering you a great way to navigate, you know, the times you might feel stuck, those times that you might feel like a challenge is in the way, especially this time of year. This time of year really presents a lot of happiness, but a lot of tough moments too. Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of maybe some challenging emotions, moments like that, and learning some productive coping skills, making therapy the closest thing to a guided tour for your life as you can get. We've used BetterHelp. BetterHelp is great. Therapy can be tough, especially just not even the actual doing it. Going is a drag. And in getting up, you know, maybe getting on the subway if you're in a city, driving, you know, I don't want to drive there. Built-in excuses. BetterHelp can help you cut those excuses out because they have so many great ways for you to do therapy online, chats, videos, phone calls. You don't got to even look at anyone in the eye. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online, plus very affordable. Fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist at any time. Couldn't be simpler than that. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no subways, no BART if you live in Chicago, San Francisco, excuse me.
I love that. That's my favorite transit name, BART.
It's always number one. Always ranked number one.
Bay Area Rail Transit. Right.
Yeah, they're a dynasty of customer satisfaction, BART.
Not to go too far off topic, but did you see how was it O'Hare got ranked like the best airport in the world for like the 50th time in a row? What the fuck?
What? To Detroit. Like, in Detroit.
That's crazy. Like O'Hare, I feel efficient. Like in order to be named one of the best airports in the world, you need to be within like 20 minutes of the city in which you're visiting. It's like an hour long railway ride to get into Chicago.
It's always crazy. A drag. Learn more and save 10% for betterhelp.com/lights. That's betterhelp.com/lights. Okay. So Barbie teaser trailer. It's mostly just an homage to 2001, A Space Odyssey, the opening scene, which makes sense. I do love. The only way for this to work is for them to lead into the absurd. Like for this to be like an adult's movie, which it is. It just is. This is an adult's movie. I'm sure it's going to be marketed to kids. I don't even know how it's going to be marketed, but there's clearly you don't make this trailer if it's not being teased to adults. And you can't do that. I mean, it's directed by Greta Gerwig, written by Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach. Like it's just, there's
it's
no
insane
way
to think about.
You don't make this movie and this trailer if it's not marketed to adults. So the only way for them to make this work, I think, is to lean into the absurd. So it's a teaser by definition. It's kind of like a classic teaser, where you don't really see much of the movie. And it's like a thing shot just for the teaser. But yeah, you see the big oversized Margot Robbie.
Hall. Yeah.
And then they throw the baby doll in the air and it's the Barbie logo. And then it's just quick clips. You get like the Barbie land with Margot Robbie. You get the first look at Ryan Gosling on a boat doing some sort of like karate move as Ken.
So much massive
moves in it. He was doing it's great.
He had so much eyeliner.
Yeah.
It looked like in semi-pro when they put eyeliner on and they played basketball and it started dripping all over their face.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
Also, the song is so catchy at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
It just makes you want to dance.
Yeah, which is crazy again, because I don't think we can emphasize enough, like, Noah Baumbach and Greta Gerwig went from, like, Marriage Story to making this together. That's just an insane flip. You know what I mean?
Let's not gloss over Madagascar 3.
Oh, yeah, Madagascar 3. True. I saw a very funny tweet. I want to give the guy a shout out. It's Al Jashamas, I guess. He said, Greta Gerwig just refuses to make movies about regular-sized women because of little women in the 50-story high Barbie. But yeah, dude, that trailer rocked, or teaser rocked. Another one where, almost like Oppenheimer, I think part of the back end gets like masked over because of the cast, with another one like Margot Robbie, one of the biggest actresses in the world, Brian Gosling right up there as well. Like Rodrigo Prieto, he works with like Iñárritu and Scorsese. He's the director of photography. Awesome, awesome cinematographer. And then Alexandre Desplat is on the soundtrack. Isn't that crazy? Like that's an Oscar type dude right there, just working on a Barbie movie. I think that's kind
of
awesome.
Yeah, like I think there was a lot of unknown with this, but now it's pretty clear. This is Barbie Girl, the song, the movie. Like that's just what that's what this is. Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, Will Ferrell. It's also fourth wall breaky because it's Will Ferrell as the CEO of Mattel. America Ferrera, Kate McKinnon, Alexandra Shipp, Michael Cera, Simu Liu, who's added as an additionally, but he's in the trailer. Kingsley Benadire, Issa Rae, Emerald Fennell. Who else here? Helen Mirren is the narrator.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for it. And honestly, there was a little buzz in the theater too. And the reaction online is very positive. People are like, yeah, I'm going to see this. Like dudes are like, I'm going to go see this movie.
It just looks so, and it goes to show, if you're willing to put your neck out and like do something really original, like people will respond positively to it. Like people are ready to see something different. And this is going to be that. Like this looks awesome.
Right. Like you can, it's the idea that like you can take a property and still be different and weird about it and make it intriguing. And that's, I think that's the, like, if this was just a straight up, this is Barbie and Ken. No, but like if you're going to make this weird and different and you're going to find a way to take this thing and do something unique, like you're going to create buzz. And I think that's cool. So I don't even know. I don't know. It's like it's a top five of next year for me. Like it is so fascinatingly weird. Like I don't even know what to say about it.
I'm gonna absolutely burn my retinas out watching these movies back to back. Like even if they're both 3 hours long, I don't care. I'm gonna be right there. I'll go back to back and just be blind by the end of it all.
Dude, Buddy Pounds can't wait for this fucking movie.
Dude, he saw the Amazonian Barbie and he's like, the table rose 3 inches. Mm.
The horned up crowd is going to be fired up for this.
Margo, what'd you do with those size 46 heels?
It's probably bigger than that. They're size of like an SUV.
I'd like to take a ride in those.
Dude, put a black light over the theater after the first Barbie showing. Look like a Jackson Pollock painting.
I think that's it on trailers. We didn't get anything. There was nothing else new for us.
The Tom Cruise thing, I guess, was it's not really a trailer, but like...
It's a 10-minute behind the scenes. Oh, he also, Tom Cruise did do that.
The thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Which is cool.
Someone
responded like in the perfect way. He's like, Tom Cruise is just a fucking lunatic in all the best and worst ways.
Yes, he is. He is. It's just the tagline of "See with the movies." That's it's not his. That's been said for decades, but that's his catchphrase now.
No, that's a Cruise original, baby.
See at the movies. There's also a 10-minute long Dead Reckoning, Mission Impossible, behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. That's a summer that, movie too, right?
I believe so. Yes, that's 10 minutes long though. It's awesome. I watched this morning. If you weren't already hyped for that movie, that behind the scenes will get you just jacked up. The shit they're doing is crazy.
Are blockbusters back? Are they taking back the sphere from comic book movies? I mean, next year we're gonna have during the summer Barbie blockbuster, Oppenheimer blockbuster, Dune Part Two, Dead Reckoning Part One.
Next episode we're gonna talk about 2023 movies though.
Mm-hmm.
The 80 for
you know
Brady.
What sucks, though? What sucks about that, the Tom Cruise video is like you watch that, he's doing like 5,000 base jumps, like 30,000 hours on motocross or whatever to do this stunt. Like, really an insane amount of dedication for the purpose of entertainment. And then, like, you go watch, and like, best lead actor is going to be like, you know, no offense to Paul Dano, but it's going to be Paul Dano is being like, Mr. Sammy, what are you doing, Sammy? You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be some bullshit like that. Like, how do you not give Tom Cruise or someone like that who puts so much more dedication than any actor in the world into like entertaining people with movies, like in some sort of Oscar consideration? And you know, fucking Dead Reckoning's not going to get shit in those categories.
The lack of respect towards action comedy actors has always been an issue, and horror actors. Obviously, sucks. Now you're seeing.
The yeah, but like it's not even just action actors, because at some action movies, like if you're just like showing up on set and doing like some B movie, like I don't know, Frank Grillo type thing or whatever, like that's not the same as like what he's doing for big budget movies and like they're like what he sacrifices for them and all that shit. Like, I think that's crazy. And like any actor that does that much, like in the world, almost like a Jackie Chan or something like that, that like puts their like fucking body on the line, like you deserve serious recognition for that outside of just what the public sees from like behind the scenes clips like this.
In terms of big budget, this is the May through July next year. It is crazy. Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Fast 10, which is the Fast 10 going to come out next year?
Is it Fast 10 Part 1 also?
Fast X.
I feel like we haven't seen enough behind the scenes stuff for them to be on time, right?
No,
like,
it does say May. So let's just say for now.
The what's Little his name Mermaid. Left? No, didn't their director leave in the middle of that? Lin, right?
They do have a new director.
Yeah.
Fast 10, Guardians 3, Fast 10, Little Mermaid, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I'm just saying big budget. I'm not saying they're going to be great. Transformers Rise of the Beasts, The Flash, the new Pixar movie Elemental, which just you can just kind of tell that's going to be good.
Oh.
You just kind of know. Indiana Jones, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, Oppenheimer, Barbie, and then The Marvels. So that's like in terms of big budget releases, May through July next year are just crazy. And you know what?
It's going to be fun.
I'll say it. Insidious, Fear the Dark. We're friends with Patrick Wilson. Insidious, Fear the Dark.
Hell yeah. That rocks. They can just keep popping those out. I love the Insidious movies.
Cinema. James Cameron saved cinema.
You know what the last movie of next year is?
The very last?
Yeah, right now.
What is it?
No, I don't.
Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's going to be like the death rattle for old DC, right? Essentially?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the last gasp of dying breath. That's going to be so awkward to watch, because like at this point next year, right, so many of the new DC things are going to be at the very least announced. So like we're going to have a glimpse into the future, essentially. And this is going to be like it's going to be so weird to watch that last Aquaman movie, knowing everything else that's going to be happening and all the change that's going
to
be happening.
It would make more sense if it came out before The Flash, which sounds like they're going to use to just push the reset button with. It coming out after Flash is weird.
I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen a Dune teaser yet.
Yeah. I guess they only just wrapped Principle, right?
Yeah.
Pretty recently.
It was a year out last time, and this year, and it comes out November 3rd next year. Oh, I can't even talk about that yet. That's just too hype. Actually, he has two huge movies within 2 months, too, because he has Wonka in December next year, Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, yeah. And shout out Bones and all. That movie has one of the most insane online followings I've ever seen. People think it's like the best movie of the year. It's crazy.
So movierankings.net is a long story. Can't get into it. Every theory people have as to why it's not being updated is just completely incorrect, by the way.
Someone thought we got sued.
Yeah, you're all wrong. And I don't mean that in a mean way, just like you just don't know. But it's not gonna be updated for a while. It wasn't updated for a while. It really blows, and I can't stress enough. It sucks.
Very complicated.
However, we were able to sneak in an update. And what I do when we haven't updated in a while, I'll send the list of movies, just the list, nothing else, and I give it to Ken Jack. And because people have asked, like, do you guys talk about your scores? Because we don't. And he tossed in all his scores, and I think Bones and all, you and I were right next to – no, you liked it a little more than me. You gave it a 69. I gave it a 56. I did not like Bones at all.
No, it's a very below-average movie, and people really act like it's, like, one of the best of the year. It's crazy. I think it's just because of the Chalamet effect, but, like, damn, man.
Our combined top 10 for 2022 combined score, so averaged out scores, is actually need to change that one.
Everything Everywhere One is my guess.
Everything Everywhere All at Once. Banshees of Inisherin. Nope. After Sun. Though After Sun, you haven't. Have you seen After Sun?
I have seen After Sun. I gotta put it right there.
That's
right.
So that's, I just, because I was like, that's my score, but we had the same score.
Yeah.
It's actually a little out of order on here, so I'll have to pull it.
Top Gun is probably up there, I'd imagine.
But yeah, that's where we stand right now. Yeah. So there's, we'll do all that. We'll do Most Anticipated coming up soon.
Where do I have Cherry as of right now? I feel like it's pretty high up there.
We've been talking to you about Roman for a long time. They're all about improving the lives of men by making high quality, accessible care, convenient, not just online though. You can get Roman in stores. Also available nationwide in retailers, Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, Rite Aid, Duane Reade, if you're in New York. Those are always confusing, by the way, when it's a Duane Reade and Walgreens combo pack.
They won't use my Walgreens card at Duane Reade either. What the fuck?
Really?
Makes no sense.
It's weird. A daily multivitamin supplement optimized to support men's health performance, a testosterone support supplement, Roman Swipes, which we talked about, in case you need something for the weekend, over-the-counter medication to combat hair loss. I've talked about this. My buddy's been using it, loves it. Shampoo and conditioner as well. You can get it Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, Rite Aid. All of that and more. Choice is yours. You don't got to go online. Maybe you're spooked by online shopping. Maybe it terrifies you.
The internet. Many people in the age demographic of LCB are definitely afraid of online shopping.
I am.
They love brick and mortar.
Yeah. So go to those stores. You can get Roman there too. But if you want to order online, you can do that as well. ro.co/lights or find Roman in the supplements aisle at your local Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and Rite Aid. Okay. Avatar. Actually, one second. One more ad read. Gonna rip it now. This kind of works. I know, Rob, you've been looking for a new fitness routine at home, right?
Yep.
All right, let's introduce you to Fight Camp.
That's what I need.
Fight Camp Interactive at-home boxing. They bring the best workout in the world into your home, make it fun. Thousands of workouts led by expert trainers, tons of experience teaching proper boxing form and technique. Fight Camp has live punch counting stats to motivate you to be counting all your punches throughout your workout, all that and more. As you progress, you unlock achievements too. It's like a video game, but you're working out. Go head to head against other members across the country, just like all the other at-home workout stuff, which I won't name names because it's competitors. So join the biggest boxing community in the world without leaving your home. Holiday season right now, around the corner. Make sure you also get your heart rate monitor, premium jump rope, all that for free when you sign up for Fight Camp. Additional $150 value for free. Fight Camp packages start at just $99. They also offer great financing options. You can get started as low as $9 a month. You get free gifts. Get started now by going to fightcamp.com/LCB. That's fightcamp.com/LCB. All right, Avatar. Avatar, The Way of Water.
Mm-hmm.
The sequel from James Cameron. Set more than a decade after the events of the first film. Learn the story of the Sully family. I got to say something off the top. He's got to get a new last name. That's my one complaint. It's my one joke complaint with this. They just can't. You've adapted their literal physical form. Get a Na'vi last name.
Exactly.
You got to get rid of Sully, like, or at least be a hyphenate. It's like, it just doesn't work.
I just think, like, the fact that it's Sully works, but like, what if his last name is like, I don't know, Friedland, like Friedlands. We stick together. We're the Friedlands. like Sully's kind of rolls off the tongue, so it works. But like, just had some German last name, like the Gutenbergs. We stick together.
Yeah, that would be crazier if it was something like less fluent.
Yeah.
Jake, Neytiri, and their kids. Which we got to talk. We're going to talk about their
kids. Imagine Mincy as an avatar. Sorry, I just thought about that, and it's making me laugh like immediately.
Jake,
falling off the banshee.
Gotta get the dang old tree life, man.
We follow the trouble that follows them, the lengths they go to keep each other safe, the battles they fight to stay alive, and the tragedies they endure. I don't think it's much of a. Basically, they have found they have better perfected turning humans into avatars. And the sky people, the humans, are sending them down to go get what's theirs. and try to reclaim Pandora. That's kind of the crux of the story. And Jake Selena's family are on the run and trying to go to a new part of the world to start a new life. So yeah, that's where we stand. That's kind of the story. This movie rules, to say the least. I'm still struggling a little bit as to pinpoint why exactly, or I was, and I think I finally kind of landed on it this morning, why exactly I like this one so much better than the first one. I gave the first Avatar an 80, and it's amazing, but it was a movie that was amazing to me for just the technical stuff. And that's not like a new take. That's most people's takes. But the story just didn't do it for me. And I know it gets compared to the Pocahontas thing, but I think watching this, the human stuff was just so bland. The human stuff was just so like, ah, like you're just going through the motions to get to the better shit. And that's kind of always like the, like it's always tough in a movie when there's something awesome and you keep leaving the awesome. And I know that's a critique people have about like Thor Ragnarok, for example. Every time you leave Sakaar, you're just in a less fun part of that movie. Like I'm trying to do just a recent example. Avatar: The Way of Water cuts all that out, basically. There's just very few humans. And when there are humans, they're mixed into the world. Like they're
getting murdered.
Right, right. They're in the world of the Na'vi and like of Pandora. So it works. I think this movie's amazing. I think there's a couple little wonky things here and there that kind of get balanced out by the fact that it truly looks unreal. I don't know how movies can look great like this. Like, how can you leave? I turned the PFT to the left. Like, how did I just – like, how are we saying that looks amazing still in 2020? How does he do that? But the story was better. Had me on the edge of my seat multiple times. They do a great job with the stakes. They make you kind of go, oh, shit, we could – like, there's some things that happen. You're like, whoa, okay, didn't expect that. I loved it. It's one of the best of the year. I'm excited to see it again. 92 out of 100. I'm mind blown that I just can't believe all these years. Like even thinking back to when we first started this podcast, we joke about Avatar. Like not only did I like it, like I got up and left. It's like, holy shit. That was not just an experience, but this time it's an experience that makes me wanting, like, I just want more.
Oh yeah.
I want more of this. And we better get more of this.
They're already wrapped on the third one, so I mean,
yeah. But he just throws it away. He's like, "Nah, never mind."
Didn't make 500 million. Didn't make 500 million opening weekend. Time to wrap it up.
It did. And remember, the first one only made like 70 million first weekend. So yeah. Word of mouth. I mean, this thing could, and it's not going to make two. I mean, it could make two bills overseas. It's going to make so much money.
So much money. It's crazy.
But it's already double what the first one did, which is, you have to factor in the fact that it's a sequel, but yeah, crazy. So for me, that lands on number 8 of the year for me, just behind The Batman, just ahead of Glass Onion, which I did finally see Glass Onion, which we'll talk about next week.
Yeah, that's right. I think the biggest storyline for this movie, right, going into it, was the special effects, like how 10 years or whatever it is, like it takes to like figure out how CGI water works. But I really think like one of the coolest things about this is that wasn't oversold at all. Like the special effects in this movie were absolutely insane. I would say arguably the best I've seen ever. Like as far as like a world that demands like that sheer volume of special effects, and like not something where like I'm sure like a good sci-fi comparison I guess would be like something like District 9, right? Like District 9, like you have CGI stuff in a human world, like that stuff is easier to manage. This is an entirely CGI world, and it looks like mostly real almost all the time. It is insane what they were able to do with that, and that obviously goes a lot into the budget and how much all the time and money it took put into that world. But like it paid off. It is an insanely real looking world, and I think they used that, those same effects in the action, and the action looked even better. I think some of the strengths from this come from a couple different things, right? One of them, like Stephen Lang talked to us about how this movie was shifting from being like more of an action-y blockbuster to a family dynamic, and I was like, I don't know about that. It's Avatar, like that's not really, I don't know. But like it worked for me a lot. And I think that they transitioned from like the first one being a lot of like world building and like empathy building, I guess, for like the Na'vi and all that. And in this one, they do more of like, hey, here's the family. This is more about this person, more personal type of story and all those things. But then they also still included new world building because they got out of like the forest of Pandora and into this brand new, totally different species of like Na'vi, totally different world, like totally different environment, all these things. And it's still... is incredible. Action was awesome. Some of those kills were absolutely insane. That Australian dude getting chopped up was maybe one of my favorite death scenes of the year. Neytiri going into like full bloodlust mode in that third act. That third act, by the way, made my favorite of the entire year. So good. And I saw a tweet too. Miles Quaritch, all-time hater. Maybe the all-time hater. He comes back from the dead just to still be a hater of Jake Sully. Dude, it fucking rocks. And I think something Cameron also does really well always is sci-fi design. Like, his robots are always so cool. And like, yeah, little crab mm-hmm. robots, the fucking mm-hmm. boat, yeah, the submarines, yeah, all of it looks so great. And it really just like, it brings you into it. And I love that about Cameron. Super immersive. The only cons I took away from this movie are, I don't think the music was as strong in this one. Like, the music was like a big part. I feel like in the first Avatar, like, it elevated a lot of moments. James Horner obviously passed away. And the guy that worked with him on the first movie did this soundtrack for this one. I don't think it really hit as hard. Character building, dialogue wasn't incredible, just like the first one. But like, that's not what drives these movies, so that's not a big deal. And did the plot, definitely a little bit of a rerun in this, in like a more broad structural sense. But like, I don't even think that really, I noticed it that much. And like, the people complain about the length. I don't think it really felt long at any point. Like, I wanted to just kept wanting to see more of the movie. I landed on 86. I think it was an awesome movie. And I think the biggest takeaway from this, from at least for me, is like the most obvious. Like, this is a blockbuster, and this is like what James Cameron was born to make, right? Like, this is an undeniably entertaining movie that you can go watch with literally anybody, and they're going to have a fucking blast with it. They're going to think it's awesome. And I love that about this movie. We were not vindicated, but I feel like we are all on the same team going into this movie saying, like, this is going to be sick. We're very pro Avatar, even though there's all those people out there that still hate on it. And yeah, I think Jimmy Cameron, the bill was due and he paid it. Fucking absolute beast mode from our Canadian truck driving king.
I mean, that was the first thing. Jeff was sitting next to me. The first thing I said right when the movie ended, I was like, Jimmy fucking Cameron. I was like, James fucking Cameron. He did it. I mean, there's points in this mm-hmm. movie where it's like, and I described it like this. I was like, it feels like you're a 12-year-old and you see LeBron windmill dunk from the free throw line. Like, it has those moments where you're like, holy fucking shit. You want to stand up and cheer because what you're looking at is just incredible. It's what I imagine like people in the 70s, like the first time they saw A New Hope or Empire Strike Back, like that's what it would have felt like. It's just mind blowing. Like it literally is inconceivable, especially after the last decade of CGI, like just the downturn in special effects that we've seen. It makes you fucking mad.
Funny, it comes in a year where there's a lot of complaints about it too.
Yeah, like you see Thor 4 and then you see this, like, oh my God. Like, it makes you fucking mad.
Oh,
because you're like, this is what we could have. This is incredible. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. Like, the craziest part, I think, is I don't love the character Spider, but the way he's blended into the environment, like a huge, like a human character blended into a fully CGI'd environment seamlessly. Like, it looks like he's just interacting with the entire world around him. Like, it made it feel so fucking real. It's number 8 on the year for me too. It's right behind Cha-Cha Real Smooth and right in front of Top Gun Maverick, which I think is its comparable movie on the year for different reasons. One being more practical and the other one being CGI. But yeah, I mean, it's a huge step up story-wise.
Huge. You're going to have two movies that made over $1 billion nominated for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is,
that's pretty crazy.
People are really mad that this got for some reason, the Golden Globe nod. People were like, oh, it hasn't even come out yet. How to get a nom? It's like, because critics saw it and they were probably feeling the same way we felt. It's a movie that's going to yield repeat viewings. You got to go see this. I got to see this more than once in theaters. I have post-Avatar depression syndrome, which is when you get out of the movie and you want to go back to Pandora. Colors aren't as bright. Dude. Food doesn't taste as good anymore.
One of the greatest things about Jim Cameron, too, he is keeping 3D alive and well, and it looked fucking great in 3D. I don't know if you guys see it in like the 3D?
We saw Dolby 3D.
Dude, it was so cool. The frame rate on some of that shit was like, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do that in CGI. Like, it looked like it was happening right in front of you. Like, it's, and not like the 3D element of it, but like the frame rate of that CGI was just crazy.
Yeah, I like the way he played around with the frame rate. Like, he would turn it up in certain action scenes, so that way it looked a lot smoother, and then he'd pull it back for, you know, more standard landscape stuff, so you didn't feel nauseous, which is a big issue I always have with 3D. I just get a little sick, but it didn't happen here.
Dude, that scene where they blew up the train with all the guns in it, and, like, they do the zoom in as it's crashing. Like, it looks like you're watching a train crash. It's crazy.
The The water did look amazing too. Like it, there's actually, I would suggest too, if you go and see it again, you don't think about it because you're, because that's the beauty of it. And that's, I think, a testament to him is you don't think about what the water looks like because it looks so good. But if you have a second, like stop for a moment and just look at the water and just think about like how much better it looks than any water scene you've ever seen. And then you'll realize like, wow, like this is like, there was a moment in the movie. Like, I don't know why I just had like, I was like, you know what? Let me just like focus on the water for a second. Like how amazing does this actually look? And I was like, holy shit. Like, cause you don't, it looks so good. You don't think about it. But if you see it a second time, stop and just kind of look at it for a minute. Be like, you're like, wow, like how does this look? So again, it doesn't make sense. It movies shouldn't look this like transcendently good. Still, you're like, how much better can it be?
But you know what's funny too is we watched that last Aquaman movie and we're like, wow, this looked pretty easy, huh? And then now that looks like dog shit compared to this. It's crazy how good
with their hair, like the way their hair like flopped. It just didn't. Yeah, it just yeah. Let's talk some negatives though, because we're not all perfect on the movie. Big complaint for me, and it actually got better throughout the movie. I thought the kid acting in the beginning of the movie was horrible.
It definitely got better.
All the kids were. Because see, I thought Sigourney as a 14-year-old, I thought she was great. Like I thought that should not work at all. And I was like, holy shit!
No, she worked. I think the ones that were actually kids, like there was just a clear, it just didn't fully work for me.
Mm-hmm. No, I think we can come out and say Spider was rough.
Spider's tough.
That was tough.
Yeah, but it got I was able to kind of – it got better throughout. Like I was okay, but in the beginning it was a little like – I was like, uh-oh. I was like, are we going to do this for 3 hours? But they did – it kind of normalized out.
And you can kind of tell when James Cameron was writing this script based on the language they were using, because it's like this definitely was something he started writing in like 2014, 2015, because they kept saying cuz and bro so much. They said it so much, the kids did. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? That was like, James Cameron has a tin ear for dialogue. Like, that's just, he's not.
Yeah, and it, you can make it work too, because like obviously they're learning from their dad who is human. And it's like it kind of.
Oh. By the way, that was a brilliant move on Cameron's part where they're just like, yeah, like I was speaking Navi so much it started to sound like English. And that's how they swapped from Navi to English. Great, great move right there. I love that.
That was genius. I kind of smiled and chuckled to myself. I was like, that's smart. Yeah. That's a good idea.
That's fucking smart.
So I was worried too that they were going to go back to like the jungle. They were going to go back to like with the rest of the Navi and like go back and forth. And I was like, that was my worry halfway through. I'm like, oh man, are they going to like lose here and then go back? And they didn't like it. It stayed in that area. All of the boat chase scenes when they're trying to harpoon, like it was riveting. And then the second one, yeah, like you said, when the guy's arm gets ripped off, it was just awesome. The final fight looked amazing.
Third act was insane. And it's one of the coolest things.
You kind of assumed Quaritch was going to be alive because like they're making another one. Also, he just literally told us in the next movies like it, but it's still I call it the Argo effect. Like, you know, like you kind of know what's going to happen, but you're still on the edge of your seat. You're still like, oh shit. And obviously having like Jake Sully having one, which I will not remember the kid's name. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Too many.
Simple. I mix them up half the time too. I
got Neytiri and that's all I need. That's I'm done. Yeah. I'm good with that.
But when the first kid dies, you're like, oh shit. Like, oh my God. Like, he actually, and I thought they were going to bring him back to life later. No, he is dead. Very dead. And that was it. That was kind of where it really hammered home. Like, no, this is going to be something different. It's like there's an emotional weight and heaviness to it. I don't know. It's crazy to say because it's not like it's that insanely different story wise than the first one. Like, it's a different, completely different story, but like, it's not like it's not like the first one was a sci-fi movie and the second one was like a melodrama. Like, it's not like it's that different. Like, there's still like a lot of similar beats. It's the same bad guy just in a blue body, but it still felt so much better. Like, it hit more. There's emotional weight. I cared about the characters more. I thought it was great. Also, would you have ever known it was like, I knew it was Kate Winslet, but like, because of like the, what do they call the water Navi, what are they called?
Like
I'm not going to get that one quite yet, James Cameron.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pick up on all the aliens quite yet, but their faces were a little more like distorted. Like they had like bigger eyes, almost like you couldn't like it. Now it looks like Sigourney Weaver Avatar, like in the first one. Mm. It looks like Zoe Saldana, where these you couldn't quite tell as much. Also, Edie Falco role.
Yeah. Yo, when they put that fucking kid into the Clockwork Orange thing, that was crazy. Holy shit. By the way, that's another thing. James Cameron thinks every single bad guy in the military just loves drinking coffee.
Yes.
You're drinking coffee out of a mug, you're a badass, you're a bad dude.
And not even that, like the logistics of it, this is not a complaint. The logistics of how Edie Falco was drinking the coffee as the robot.
It was so deliberate.
It didn't make sense to me.
She's like this. She's like,
why would she have just not held
it in her normal hand?
Like I do that.
You sit there, just like, and it's like they do that weird movement where they're just like, burn down the Na'vi.
Like, yeah, they're always moving. Yeah, they're moving. Yeah. Also, there needs to be more Giovanni Ribisi in the next one.
Yeah, I will say though, I do like, I mean, you talked about this a little bit with like the human involvement or anything. Like, there really wasn't a human character outside of Spider, who really wasn't like a human. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't really any human involvement outside of like 2 seconds of Edie Falco, and that's it. Like, you know what I mean? And I think that kind of rocked in this case.
People got a little excited in our theater when Jemaine Clement popped up on the screen. That was funny.
Yeah. No. That's how they didn't let him do a New Zealand accent, but they had the guy he was with an Australian accent. Like, just let him do his own accent.
that is pretty funny that you say that.
And I also liked how he's like, I know all you guys are bitching about unobtainium, so here's a brand new thing. This goo that comes out of these whales that lets people live forever. That's just Jim Cameron, baby. I love that.
It's not complicated. I like that they set up a bunch of lore. I feel like they expanded the lore considerably. Like, they got me in a way that's got me very excited for 3 and 4, and I guess 5 too.
Like, the first one felt like a lore exposition dump. Like, you're just like learning about, and that's the thing. It's like this one, they found a way to do it without over explain. Like, it just seemed to work better. It's kind of crazy. It's weird. Yeah. Like, it's weird that it's to me, it's this much better. And you listening may not agree. But I think for the most part, I've seen a lot of people say what I'm saying, what we're saying is that first one, good, solid, better known for technical, but like this one just is better.
I think what was cool about it too is like that first one was a lot of lore and exposition dump, but like that world building in Pandora was really cool. Like, even if like it took away from like maybe the smoothness or like the timing of the movie, like, but this one too, it also did a shit ton of world building, because like they have, you know what the Na'vi are and all that stuff, but you had a brand new culture, all this new shit, like everything about it is totally new. The way they connect with like the planet, the way they connect with their animals, the way they like, you know, their breath holding, all that shit, all that's brand new. And he did a good job, I feel like, of world building that, and also showing like the Na'vi were almost our audience insertion characters, right? Because like, instead of us following Jake as a human adopting to Na'vi, we're now following Jake as a Na'vi adapting to different types of Na'vi, and I think that's really interesting. And yeah. I think like it really, even if the movie's 3 hours long, like I didn't really feel like I at any point where I'm like, I don't want to be learning more about this. I don't want to be like figuring out how this culture of Na'vi works. Like I'm really invested, and I want to hear as much as you can tell me.
I know I've seen people complain about the second act, about it being maybe a little long and not much happening, but I really loved it for that reason. Like, just getting to hang out in that water tribe, that village, and seeing everything, like different plants, different animals. Like, I don't know. It was just very fascinating. Mm-hmm. It was like watching the best Nat Geo doc you've ever seen. Like, it was just breathtaking.
There, because of the fact that he died in the first one, and he has no, it's not even him, and he's like, you're not my kid, even though he kind of ends up liking the kid. Like, I like that kind of term for the character. There is, with like Quaritch, there's a brutality to Quaritch that I think is just, it really elevates the movie too. Like, when they burn the village, like, it just, like, there's something there that really picks it up to another level, where he kind of felt like NPC bad guy in the first one. Like, I got the scars. Like, I'm a military guy. Semper Fi. It's like, all right. It's like, okay. Like, this seems very stock image, like Getty stock images. But like this one, there was he's really just a piece of shit. Like, he's a piece of shit who hates Jake Sully. He does not, he will burn every village possible to kill this one man.
All-time hater. Number one hater in the world.
We're not in Kansas anymore.
I love that dude. His avatar looked cool too. Like you could obviously tell it was him, and like, but just like I feel like using the commando team of Marine Navi guys is awesome. And like, I think that for all of those characters, I think that's like a really kind of like a badass type of thing where it's like all these guys, hey, you all got killed by the Navi, and this is your chance. You all got spun back up. You get to get your revenge on these people for killing the real you. I think that's awesome. That's a really cool idea.
Story decision that I loved. The eclipse stuff was great. It always played great when the night scene in the jungle, like when the eclipse happened and they take the kids for the first time before they're rescued. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to our good boy. What was the outcast Tukulum thing? Tukulum. Guy's name? But what was the outcast one? The outcast one, he rocked. That was a great one.
Awesome. He was the best character.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I loved him.
Number one character.
I was cheering for him very hard.
You know what scene James Cameron loved from these movies and from the last one too, and I could watch it 5,000 times, is any sort of Navi shooting an arrow through the cockpit glass of one of those helicopters and killing the pilot. They must have had that shot like 7 times total in these two movies combined, and I love it every time. All the kills of a human by avatars are always so sick. And I just really appreciate that from Jim. He knows how to make a cool death scene.
One scene. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
I was going to say one scene that did make me laugh, and it was probably a bad scene. It is a bad scene. When they show up to the water village first and they have the, like the young girl, the young daughter of the tribesman, like go in the water and come back out like an SI swimsuit model. And the boys are just checking her out.
Yeah.
Like slow-mo. Like Hank was next to me. He just started laughing, just started cracking up.
Yeah. I was even at the screening. People were laughing, but like, I think that was purposeful, right? Like that was,
yeah, I mean,
I think that's a designed laugh.
It's a very cheesy. I mean, it's cheesy. It's simple, but I think its strength is in those points. Like the fact that it's willing to lean into being just a nice, cheesy blockbuster storyline wise, like, you don't need to be – not everything needs to be complicated, especially when it comes to these big blockbusters that everyone should be able to go see and enjoy. You don't need to overcomplicate things. Like sticking with very central themes everybody can relate to, the idea of family, the idea of like protecting Earth and like doing things for your environment, like those are easy and accessible. And I think that – I think it plays much better here than it maybe did in the first one, and it was handled better. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking Cameron. Jimbo. Goddamn.
Not a ton of Norm either.
I was gonna say the only thing missing from this was not enough Joel David Moore, right?
Isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, he used to be a quarterback. Can't do his voice.
He was one of those that just was goofy. He was goofy in that role, and you're like, I don't need much more.
You don't need much more of that. Yeah. Although they did imply that he was the father of the. What do you call it? Sigourney Weaver avatar somehow.
She literally does,
which was weird.
She says, I would literally kill myself.
Yep. That was a great line too. Like, fuck, man.
So yeah, high marks for Avatar. Robbie, what'd you say you have it at again?
I put it at a 90.
90. And then 92 for me, Ken Jack 86. We got to fix the overall rankings on the site. But yeah, so for 2022, this is what Ken Jack and I have combined. Remember, this is combined. I have to get this fixed and updated. 2022, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Banshees of Inisherin, Nope, After Sun, Decision to Leave, Top Gun Maverick, The Batman, The Whale, Glass Onion, and then The Fablemans. Marcel the Shell, Avatar, Wakanda Forever, X, Northman, Pearl, Cha-Cha Real Smooth. Glass Onion next week. Very excited to talk about that movie. Excited to watch it again.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
I'm like the first Knives Out, I think the second viewing could be even better. Just fun, kind of, you can pick up on some early on things, see how everything's going to tie back together at the very end.
Yeah, it'll be out on Netflix. All right. Top 5 movies with blue people. I'm going to go first. Top 5 movie with blue people. Cheating a little bit. This probably shouldn't be in there. But you can't have a movie rankings with blue people and not have the lovely blue face of Paul Giamatti and Big Fat Liar.
That's mine in 5 as well.
Frankie Muniz and Amanda Bynes. It has to be, right? You have to put it on the list.
Yes. Required.
Is that on your shirt? Shirt, Ken Jack?
What's up?
Is he on your shirt? Is that?
He sure is.
There we go.
There he is.
Yeah.
It is streaming on Stars if you want to watch it right now.
I'm going to go subscribe to Stars to watch. Yeah.
Has anybody ever gotten a full subscription to Stars and not like a 7-week free trial?
It's a great question.
Yeah, big fat liar. Number five. I guess that's your number five too, Ken.
Yes.
What a classic early 2000s movie.
Mm-hmm. Mine is X2. Mystique. Goddamn. Changed me into a man. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Sean Levy's got a crazy filmography. X2 is a good pick. He's got Big Fat Liar, The Internship, the first two Night at the Museum movies, Cheaper by the Dozen, Date Night, The Adam Project, This Is Where I Leave You, Free Guy, Real Steel, The Pink Panther, Jet Jackson, the movie, Just Married. What a weird filmography.
He's good. He's underappreciated. Great right there. Those are a lot of movies I really like.
Number four, Watchmen. But the extended cut. The director's cut of Watchmen.
The extended cut of his big fat hog.
Not the, obviously Dr. Manhattan.
Not the circumcised version of Dr. Manhattan's dick.
Look, if we were doing best things with blue people, your shirt has the black bar. Right? Yeah. If we're doing things with blue people, the Watchmen TV show would be number one for me. But we're not. We're doing movies. So Watchmen, 86 out of 100 for me. That's my number four.
All right. So I'm up, right?
Yep.
I'm going to do Star Wars Revenge of the Sith, Aayla Secura. It's just a fucking sexy ass alien. She gets mowed down in that movie, but goddamn, she is that. I mean, here's the thing. George Lucas made the race of the Twi'leks to be sex slaves, which is fucked up. There's no doubt about it. Like that's a weird ass George Lucasism right there. But it's undeniable that Aayla Secura is the hottest Jedi without a doubt, other than Yaddle.
You could argue. Yeah. You say Yaddle?
Yeah, Yaddle. Yaddle's number one. Aayla Secura is number two.
You could argue now that Yaddle has a voice via Tales of the Jedi. You now
that's right.
Can even find EDH. Her more attractive.
And she speaks normally. She doesn't speak like Yoda.
Voiced by Bryce Dallas Howard too.
Yeah,
Bryce Dallas Howard.
True. Remember,
mommy.
What did? Who said that?
P-A-W-G.
Was it
my Star Wars was mommy?
Dave Filoni said that. Oh yeah, that Yoda only talks like that as an ode to his master. No one else in his species talks like that. What an asshole.
George, like, hey, like, we're in the middle of a battle, and like, my favorite scene, which would be this, would be like a perfect shining moment why that's dumb, is when they're in the middle of like the Clone Wars battle, and he's like, around the survivors, a perimeter create. Like, hey, dude, like, you're in the middle of like a pitched battle. Maybe just say it regular in a regular speed instead of an ode to your master.
My two more people get gunned down.
Or any of the troll skits for that matter.
All right. Number four for you.
My number four, go back to my list, Aladdin. Not the Will Smith Aladdin, the 98 Aladdin?
No, it's earlier than that. It's like 1992.
Oh, yeah, two or three.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that old. But yeah, so original
Aladdin. Wow, you guys really like it.
I love that movie.
Movie.
But yeah, no, going with that, Robin Williams' iconic performance, I mean, almost impossible to... Felt bad for Will Smith at points because it's like he really can't follow that up. Like Robin Williams was so good at the genie. Some of the best soundtrack. Shout out Alan Menken. Just dominated the 90s with Disney. Very entertaining movie. I love watching it still. It's, one of my favorites.
Great pick.
My next one. Avatar Way of Water for me.
That's my three.
We already talked about it. We already talked about it.
Yeah. My number three, I would pick. Let's do Guardians 2. Yondu, one of the all-time great dad lines. He may have been your father, but he wasn't your daddy. Great line. Michael Rooker, great actor in both of those movies. You know, with Yondu.
Dude, Yondu ruled. So that weapon was so awesome.
The needle. And every scene that he used it with the music was even better. Like,
the one with they use Glenn Campbell's Southern Nights, and it's like,
yeah.
Oh, it's got the lights and the ship, and it's just zipping through. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Such a great use of music. James Gunn is so good at that.
God. Yeah. Didn't they do, was it like Walk Like a, like one of those?
Yes. I think it's the first one though, right?
Yeah. One of those two. I forget which one. Yeah.
Good pick. Jeff, you're back up because I do go Avatar Way of the Water here. Elite Blue.
My next one is Monsters, Inc. Sully. Another Sully.
Sully.
Two Sullys on the list, yeah.
Yeah, Sully. Yeah. Sully Sullenberger.
Fuck that guy.
That hero.
Loser. He loved water too, just like Jake Sully.
He did. Monsters, Inc. is amazing. Monsters, Inc. It's not underrated by any means, but I feel like whenever people do their Pixar lists, they don't immediately put Monsters, Inc. up there. And then they look up the list of Pixar movies and they go, oh, fuck, Monsters, Inc. And it's immediately right up their top three or four.
Mike.
Amazing movie. Monsters, Inc. number two for me, Ken Jack.
My number two would be the good boy, Dr. Manhattan. In Watchmen, again, extended cut with his extended hog. Again, I'm just going to point it out again. We got right here. I also have like 15 blue characters on my shirt, which I didn't really use in my selection of characters. It was Sonic, Dr. Freeze. Is that Tobias Funke? DeAndre Hopkins dressed up like an avatar. And then Megamind. But yeah, got to go with Dr. Manhattan.
It's not on my list, but you want to talk about underrated animated movies. Megamind. Megamind's very funny.
Yeah.
Nobody ever talks about Megamind.
Not nearly enough anyway. Like, I feel like every now and then you see a meme about it, like the no bitches meme or whatever. But like, other than that, it needs more hype.
Did it come out the same year as Minions?
Probably, or
not,
yeah.
Minions.
It feels right.
Despicable Me. The first Despicable. I think it might have come out the same.
Yeah, well, yeah, not Minions. But yeah, the Despicable Me feels like right.
Yeah, no.
Same time period.
No, because Megamind came out in 2010.
When was Despicable Me?
Maybe Despicable Me was 2010?
Wow. Same year. Yeah, wow.
I thought Despicable Me was when I was at the, like, it was like 2012, 2013. Yeah, I got buried.
Damn, yeah, I was still in high school. I didn't even realize that.
That's a well-known thing in Hollywood. They're like, yeah, people don't realize how good Megamind is. I got buried by Despicable Me.
Still talking.
The first Despicable Me is so good, though.
It really is.
It's a great example of the guys from Red Letter Media talk about it all the time. They talk about the Force Awakens effect. It's like The Force Awakens was a great soft reboot, but it spawned so many soft reboots. Despicable Me was great, but it spawned the Minions. And that's just a problem. The Minions are so good in small doses. And what did I say on here one time? Oh, Minion culture. You got to be careful. Minion fans are rabid.
Legion.
Bananas of them. My number two is Boogie Nights. Great movie.
Fuck, man. Come on. That was my number one. You stomped on my joke with the fucking, Heather Graham, because she blew people joke. You fucking asshole. God damn it.
People were getting blue.
More fucking fuck. Damn it.
Just absolutely cucked you.
So ready. I was like, no one's going to think about this.
You're like William H. Macy right now. Just absolutely getting cucked.
Yeah, I'm William H. Macy, and the fact that I'm going to go get a gun and shoot you in a one take. And Brilliant Wonder by Paul Thomas Anderson.
All right, well, let's rip the joke. My one is Aladdin, already talked about by Goo. Also, Will Smith Aladdin was solid. Jafar ruined that movie, but he was very solid. But Aladdin, 95 out of 100. Monsters, Inc. was a 94. That's my pick there.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Jack. Rip the joke that was ruined.
Ken Jack, this should be really funny.
Fuck you, dude. I was like, no one's going to think about Boogie Nights. Think about movies of blue people. It would have been Heather Graham. But yeah, that's it.
My number one is The Departed. Support the blue.
Support the blue. Okay, gotcha.
Great movie. Jesus. I mean, it's like, it's one of those movies that I think falls into the Wolf of Wall Street, kind of gets the fan base can kind of turn people away from it. And younger people especially, like to hate Martin Scorsese now. But I mean, that movie is just...
I like how you're giving this legitimate analysis on your ranking of blue people, The Departed.
I got to add something.
Breaking this shit down like Ebert.
Back the blue.
And the blue are really important in that movie. Got to back them.
I think that's it. That's it. Avatar, crazy. We finally reviewed Avatar, finally came out, and I just, it's amazing. who would have ever thought that we would not just like it, but love the movie? It's cool.
And want more of them. That's the thing. Like, I'm dying. I'm dying for three. I'm dying for three now. It's scheduled for Christmas time 2024, which is amazing. So these will start pumping out.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now that they, like, awesome.
I was fired up leaving the theater. I was like, let's, I didn't even get a second popcorn refill either. Usually I only do if I'm bored as hell. Also,
yeah, I didn't pee at all. I dehydrated the shit out of myself for that game, that movie.
I peed twice. I actually stood up in the back of the theater and watched for about 20 minutes because the Dolby seats, my back started, it just hurt.
Those seats stunk.
I'd never been to a movie with Gooch before, though.
It's true. It's a life-changing experience.
You saw that I don't put butter in my popcorn.
Yeah, that's gross. You gotta lather it up.
The Dolby seats in that theater, like the reclining thing, it's weird. Like, they just don't work sometimes. Like, they just don't recline. It's really, it's kind of random. Also, before the movie started, there was almost a fight in our theater. Some guy.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. Like a full on.
Some guy. Wait, what did he say? You'll remember the quote maybe better than me.
Oh, he was like, that's why we have fucking assigned seats. Like, and he was like yelling at him. But I mean,
Jesus, man.
It's surprising that still happens. Like, we've been doing assigned seats at theaters for 10 years now. Like,
yep.
Like, how do you not understand that at this point? Like,
that's the one thing that so sucks easy. About going to screeners is that in the screeners, you don't have assigned seats. So, like, you have to show up like at 45 minutes early. Like, I was there legitimately 45 half hour early for the screening of Avatar because I'm like, ain't nobody fucking me out of a good seat on this one. Not for Avatar. And I was there and like, there was already like, it was half full by the time I got there that early. It's crazy.
It was,
not a lot of people in Babylon.
It was an experience. That's it. Next week, Glass Onion. Last episode of 2022 for us. We will have a week off after that. Just taking a kind of a reset and then getting right into 2023 movies. So we'll do that. We'll do probably top 10 movies of 2022. That's it for Ken Jack Goop from Jeff D. Lowe. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Stella Blue Coffee's new can lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations. So when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today. Taste the difference and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee canned lattes now available at StellaBlueCoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.